Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle, it'd be so much easier to believe. They also say seeing is believing. But the truth is, believing is seeing. The fact is, miracles abound around us every day. But we see only results and fail to see God in them. At one moment, the Pharisees became convicted at Jesus' preaching because they saw themselves as the object of his preaching. So they say to him, "Are we also blind?" Do you remember Jesus' answer? "If you were, then there'd be hope for you. But seeing that you say we see, there is no hope." See, I believe that we need to become comfortable with being honest about our need. And then giving God the glory publicly. As we noted, Jesus was sent and he is here. And today we look at that little phrase, recovery of sight to the blind. You know, the sad part about some scriptures like this, a person will say, "Well, I'm not blind, I guess that's not for me." But I expect that we all have some blind spots. And we all need our eyes to be opened and to have recovery of sight. In the Bible, that does talk about those whom Jesus healed of physical blindness. In Luke 7, Jesus declares that the blind have been healed. In Matthew 15, he says, you can tell John, the blind see. And it was declared that no one but God could open blind eyes. And this is true. But it also validated Jesus' claims to be the Son of God. So even today, there are many believers who fail to see God at work. They will see someone who experiences a blessing from God, and instead of saying, give God glory or thank you, Jesus, they'll say, well, you're really lucky. What is so hard about giving God the glory? These songs we're talking about, singing today, are talking about giving God the glory. One of the things I really appreciate in Africa is that it doesn't matter who you might talk to. You might ask them about something in their life, some struggle, or maybe just, you might just say, how are you? And their answer will always include, we're doing good by the grace of God. That phrase comes up over and over. We're doing good by the grace of God. And I think Americans just say we're doing good. If we even say that, we say, well, you know, it's not too bad. What about becoming obnoxious about giving God glory? In all things, give me thanks. So, in the Bible, probably the classic case of a blind man being healed is in John 9. You remember the disciples asked Jesus a question when they saw this blind man. They say, now, whose fault is this? Did his parents sin? Did he sin? That's so typical of people in our day, maybe even us. We want to try to figure out why. I'm just so glad Jesus didn't answer their question. He said, this is for the glory of God, that the works of God may be displayed in him. See, I think we try to be, you know, what do you call it? Well, I forget even what the name is now, but what was Sherlock Holmes? What was he? A detective, yes, yeah. A detective, trying to figure out things, why and how come and what for, rather than meeting the issue right on and tend to business. So maybe we like to play detective and say why, how come, what for, rather than meet the situation with the Word of God. Do you know that's the only thing we've got is the Word of God? and it works in every situation. So Jesus anoints the man's eyes with mud and told him to go and wash it off. Doesn't that seem like a kind of a strange order? I mean, if the guy's blind, why put mud on his eyes? But Jesus spit in some dirt and rubbed it in his eyes and told him to go wash it off. He obeyed. He went, it says, and he washed, and he came back seeing. And he was giving God the glory. Now, those around him were not so quick to give God the glory. I mean, even three times they ask him, say, now, how did he do this again? And God was glorified in that instance, and no answer really ever came forward. But I was thinking, okay, if that had happened in our day right here and now, if Jesus would have been here and made some mud in his hand and put it in somebody's eyes and they got healed, you know, would we say, oh, glory to God? I kind of doubt it, because I think we'd try to figure out and say, oh, you know, must have been some kind of chemical reaction from that mud. See, we have to be so clever rather than give God the glory. How he did it doesn't really matter. It says God is at work. God was glorified. It was the work of God, plain and simple. Give him the glory. Give him the glory. Well, here the scripture talks about recovery of sight to the blind. Now, recovery means something is being restored, isn't it? Something is being restored. So we have to learn a lot just from words. So here we're talking about a restoration. Jesus is addressing those who are presumed believers in this scripture. And the word for sight means to be made to see anew, to gain perception. I mean, as you know, in English we have some limited vocabulary. But in Greek, Latin, Hebrew, there are words for even fine little details of the same basic issue. But the word that's used here for sight means to be made to see anew, not to be made to see like you've never seen before, like you were like totally blind, but to see anew, to gain perception. So it relates to seeing more than what is merely visible. And the word for blind at this point means sight that is hazy, smoky, or opaque. Perhaps being able to distinguish shapes, but not details. Maybe be able to distinguish what's light and what's dark. And it can be referring to both physical and spiritual blindness. It is what Jesus talks about as he quotes Isaiah in that Matthew passage. He said, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they won't hear. Have you noticed? Sometimes Jesus says things that to our ears are sort of redundant. He says, if you have ears to hear, then listen. He doesn't just say, if you have ears, then listen. But if you have ears that hear, that can distinguish what is being said, probably what we might call reading between the lines, not just what's just obvious. The kind of seeing that is where you don't see. That's what Jesus is addressing often in his teachings. And I would really say amongst us in this room today, you know, some of us are wearing glasses because without that we have some fairly opaque vision. I just sense God is not really talking to us about physical blindness as much as he's talking about wanting to open our eyes so that we can see. You know, how do we see? What do we see? When God was calling Jeremiah, you know, he brought him out and he said, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. And what did God say? You see well. Then he asked him a second time, what do you see? I see a boiling pot. And it was just like that was his exam for being made a prophet, although he'd already been called as a prophet. In Matthew 13, I read those verses there. Jesus says there were people in the past who desired strongly to see what you see, but didn't see it. And to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about all these people of faith, and yet it says they died not having seen what they saw. And here it's interesting again, Jesus said they wanted to see visually. But Jesus said, I'm bringing you a step further. They looked, you know, he said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And yet, he saw it, but he didn't see it. Moses saw him who is invisible. See, that's the kind of sight God is wanting to restore to us. That's the recovery of sight to the blind that this scripture is talking about. So, to be blind is to be in the dark. But Jesus came into the world to bring light. He is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. And it says he is the one who enlightens every man who comes into the world. So everyone has no excuses. We've all been given something of the light that we might be able to see. In the book of the Psalms, it says, in thy light we see light. In thy light we see light. Just as we sang this one song, it says we are being transformed from glory to glory, not from evil to good, not from dismal to glory, but from glory to glory. In thy light we see light. God already initiates it all for us. And Bonnie already spoke about this, but I want to share it a second time then, that perhaps the most outstanding example in the Bible of recovery of sight to the blind occurred on that first resurrection day. Jesus had caught up with two of the disciples. They were on their way to Emmaus. And I think as you read that, and if you look at the words carefully, they were just sort of dragging themselves home after a tough weekend. And as they dragged along their way to Emmaus, Jesus caught up with them, began to converse with them. And for a distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus is approximately 7 miles. So they had the privilege of having Jesus walking with them for about 7 miles. And what an event it was. He walked with them. He stirred their hearts, and yet they were in the dark about who this stranger is that's walking with them. And yet later on, they confess to each other, well, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us? Weren't we just stirred? And yet, they didn't know who this was. And during that period of time, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus related to them the entire story of redemption from the entire Bible. as he spoke to them from the Torah and from the Psalms and from the prophets, which are the three parts of the what we call the Old Testament, which was the Bible they had. Their hearts were strangely warmed and encouraged, but they were not able to see Jesus. I mean, they saw this guy, but they didn't see Jesus. And the Bible says their eyes were beholden so that they did not see him. They were blind. But as Bonnie mentioned, three times it says in that little section, doesn't it? Open. He opened their understanding. He opened their hearts. He opened their eyes. That's what Jesus does. Opens blind eyes. I have no problem believing that Jesus opens blind eyes that are physically blind. But I believe that there is a greater blessing in opening our eyes that we can see what God can see. Remember, there's a song that says, if we could see beyond today as God can see. Well, God allows us that. He would give us, he would give recovery of sight to us that we could see what he sees and how he sees. And as you read the story of the two on their way to Emmaus, we begin to recognize that perhaps the main reason they could not see Jesus is that they were so caught up with their own feelings and loss and confusion. For 7 miles, Jesus walks with them, and they didn't see him. And then do you look at the grace of God in that 24th chapter of Luke? It says when they reached Emmaus, they got to the place where they were going. And it's as if Jesus going to give them one more chance to see him. So it says he made off as he were going to keep going on. And for the first time in that 7 mile walk, their focus was off themselves. And they were concerned now for this stranger. They say, it's late, it's getting dark, you don't want to be walking out in the dark. Stay with us for the night. You see, when we get our focus off us, our vision clears up quite a bit. So Jesus was giving them one more chance for them to see him, making out as if he's just going to keep going. And they turn their attention from themselves and say, stay with us because it's late and it's getting dark. And he went in with them. They invited him to eat. And as they were eating, their eyes were opened, and they saw him. You know, it wasn't that long ago that they had spent time with Jesus eating before. Somehow when Jesus breaks bread, their eyes were opened, and they saw him. They weren't concerned about being dark and late now, because it says they ran back to Jerusalem. They had lollygagged their way to Emmaus. Didn't take nearly that long to get back to Jerusalem to bring the report. But he'd already been there too. And so they had a time of rejoicing and sharing, because now they had seen Jesus. They had seen Jesus. Remember, there was a song that was quite popular some years back. In fact, we just listened to it the other night on one of the Gaither videos. Remember Larnell Harrison, Sandy Patty singing, "I've just seen Jesus. I've just seen Jesus." God wants us all to be saying that. I've seen Jesus. Not just a guy, but Jesus. Because he was sent and he is here to open our eyes now so that we can see him. He is making this opportunity for us that we might see him, not in some spectacular event, but in the everyday events of life. That's where we live. That's where he is. Never leaving us, never forsaking us. And with the workings of God in our life, see, it's not just the Africans who say by the grace of God. Paul sort of initiated that, didn't he? By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am who I am. And by the grace of God, I am who I am because I've seen Jesus. And I've seen all of him. You haven't seen all of him. But with our eyes being opened, we'll see more of him. Not out in the desert, but in our everyday walk with God. Father, we ask you, use these same ancient words to open our eyes, open our understanding. Lord Jesus, we even sing it, don't we? We want to see Jesus. Lord, make us desperate to see you, to behold you. And again, as the scripture has already been read today, as we behold you, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another by the power of the Spirit of the Lord.